Attempting broadcast. Hello, Internet.
Maybe I should turn the phones on too, huh? We don't need those.
Off switch?
Yeah, absolutely. They have an off switch. They have several off switches.
Do they have an on switch?
In fact, the PBX has a. I have a time thing set. The PBX only accepts calls on our inbound DID during the time the show's on. You can't call it any other time. Well, you can call it. You'll just get a busy signal.
I get the calling and the busy signal. I don't know what any of the other stuff is. Well, I know the PBX is a magic elf box.
Yeah. It only. Well, never mind.
Is it elves or are it gnomes?
I hate elves. It's gnomes.
Yeah.
I don't really like gnomes either.
I don't like gnomes either.
I know.
Dwarves are kind of kick-ass.
Yeah. Yeah, dwarves are good. I can get a lot of dwarves.
Not the new Hobbit dwarves.
No.
Those suck.
And not the cheesy Disney.
I haven't seen the second movie. I've heard that the biggest danger of the Fire Drake Smaug is that he'll talk you to death.
I haven't seen that one. But you will.
Oh, I will, yeah.
Because, you know.
I'll likely see it exactly how I saw the first one, which is I was over at my dad's house, and he has a 3D TV, which I quietly bit my tongue going, oh, my God, Dad, you threw away your money. And then I watched it and went, fucking hey, this thing looks really nice. Yeah. And since it's in his basement, and so you can just kind of kick back, it's just... It knocks away almost all of, like, the downsides of, like, 3D movie theaters.
Oh. The giant screen that makes you nauseous?
Well, it's a smaller screen, so you can it's just, it looks better. It mm-hmm. actually looks better. I watched The Life of Pi on that, and I saw that in the IMAX, and I said, Jesus, Dad, this looks better than when I saw it at the IMAX. So, yeah.
All right, then. So about that FCC thing.
Yes. Yeah, there is no...
Oh, wait. Before we do that.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. We're doing good tonight.
Calling from the non-FCC monitored newsroom of the Squirrel Report.
That's right.
It is February 70th, 2025.
Episode number 92.
Episodes number 764.
Coming at you live through the quantum tunnel.
Oh, we have a quantum tunnel too?
Oh.
You engineers have everything.
Not really.
So you're saying there is no quantum? I was told there was a quantum tunnel.
There's no. I lied. There's no quantum tunnel.
I was told there would be chips and dip.
Nope.
Oh,
so anyway.
What about light refreshments?
Nope. Actually, I don't even have those.
I got a martini.
Damn it.
I drink because the baby cries.
Now I'm thirsty. So, anyway, looks like we're going to have a, wow. Like, everybody decided to go do something else today.
Brita. It's always Brita's fault.
Yeah, but nobody knew she wasn't going to be here.
It doesn't fucking matter.
I know. It's like a...
Does she know this?
Yeah.
I almost wanted to drop that on her like a guilt trip where she might not make it.
Yeah, that won't work.
I know it wouldn't. That's why I almost did it. If it would have worked, I definitely would not have done it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, Brita, do you know that it just sucks all the life out of the show? But you folks can call in.
That's right. 214-530-0036. Yeah, so unlike the newsrooms, we don't have an FCC person.
We do not have a political officer.
That's right. No political officer here. And that's really what it is, right? I mean, it's a political officer.
It's what it sounds like.
You know, it's like the Soviet. Remember the Soviets used to have the political officer with everything?
Yep. Yep. What a silly thing to die on spilled tea.
Yeah.
I love The Hunt for Red October. Yep. One of the best movies ever made.
It is a great movie. So anyway, if you saw the link we were put in chat, apparently the FCC, I don't know, did they, were they, oh, it was a proposed, a study of editorial bias in newsrooms. So, you know, when they say editorial bias in newsrooms, they're not talking about MSNBC.
No.
They're talking about Fox News.
Yep. Or hell, I mean, they'll talk about MSNBC. They'll try to find some sort of weird conservative spin that somebody threw on something. I mean, all these news agencies throwing a token nut just for ratings.
You know, this is like the old what was it? They used to have the like community standards.
Oh yeah.
Everything had to pass.
Equal. It was equal time.
Well, not only that. I'm talking back before TV, back in the old the movies. They had to pass like the movies had to pass a censor. It was like a community standards censor, and it lasted into the TV days. That's where you got stuff like you couldn't show two adults in the same bed.
Yeah,
which is why they all had, you know, like separate twin beds in their rooms.
Yeah, and why Dr. No was such a controversial movie, because James Bond was acting all James Bond like.
Right.
Like when you think about the time that it was done, Dr. No is pretty damn close to the Fleming incarnation, where James Bond's not a nice person.
No.
At all.
Well, and if you've ever read a Bond book, he's not.
I mean, no, he's not
at all. That's why I always hated Roger Moore. I thought Roger Moore was just...
And that's actually why I am a Timothy Dalton apologist.
Yeah, I thought the Timothy Dalton Bond was more true to the... Yep. And I thought the first... what's his name?
Daniel Craig.
The first Daniel Craig was...
Casino Royale's hands down my favorite Bond movie.
I love that one.
And that beats out Russia from Love.
And they came out with that second one that was just god-awful. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen... I've never seen the end of it.
Don't bother, because I've seen the end of it, and I couldn't tell you what the end of it is.
Yeah, it was just...
But that was because of the writer's strike.
Horrible, horrible.
They couldn't hire any writers, so they just kind of... I don't know what they did.
They shouldn't have bothered. So, yeah, there's that.
Oh, Bradley's saying that there was no Dalton Bond. Living Daylights is probably my, like, number three or four favorite Bond. That is a damn good movie.
Yeah, I like that one. I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, I didn't like License to Kill. I just don't like when Bond turns into like an American action movie. I also don't like Live and Let Die for that exact reason. I mean, number one, Roger Moore.
Yeah.
But number two, I mean, he's going up against gangsters in you know, New York and are they in New Orleans? Yeah, they're in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's one of those. This is Bush League shit James Bond shouldn't be dealing with. Oh, favorite Bond film, Zardoz. Yes,
Zardoz.
James Bond with his Webley Frosby and his banana. I've actually never seen that movie. I was looking through Netflix the other day because I had a hankering to watch that piece of shit, and I couldn't find it.
Oh crap!
Oh, aren't they like talking like MOA heads in the sky and stuff?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I mean, it's just... I guess that's why you shouldn't do drugs. Just say no, kids.
Yeah, that's right. And manage your money better, so when you're an aging actor, you don't have to do shit like that just to make a buck.
Oh. we're talking to you, Mr. Nicholas Coppola. Yeah. Oh, that poor bastard. Oh, blow all your money on comic books, and then you have to do Ghost Rider.
Yeah, wow.
And the Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yeesh.
Uh, All right, here's a call-in topic. Since we're talking about bad movies, we've also got an actual call-in topic, which I'll let Alan throw out, and then I'll give my answer to. But if you saw the remake of Total Recall, call in, because I've never seen a movie review for this movie. I've heard people say it sucked. I never saw a movie review for it, and I've never met a human being who has seen it.
I saw
and
it.
It's not streaming anywhere and all that. I don't think it actually existed.
I saw it.
I believe it's a fever dream.
It was stupid.
Yeah.
It was like really stupid.
Yeah.
Even dumber than the first one.
I like the first one. The first one, it's pretty stupid though, but it's stupid good.
Well, you can't, you know, I mean, a three-boob Martian hooker. I mean, how can you go wrong?
Four-boob Martian hooker? actually, though, that would be better. A 15-boob Martian hooker would
there you
be
go.
That would suddenly cease to be interesting or attractive.
Yeah, the second one, it's like, yeah, they did. It's like, well, we don't have a, you know, we have a vague. Okay, the name is the same. Total Recall, same name.
Well, at least they did not take the Philip K. Dick title, because yeah. Philip K. Dick cannot think of titles.
Yeah, and that's about it. You had the. I don't know what's the worst. I guess the worst. Physics failure in the first one was that whole, you know, let's make an instant atmosphere.
Yep.
The big failure in the second one was there's a tunnel that goes straight through the middle of the Earth.
Oh.
and we use it to like import workers from a shitty part of the world to a nice part of the world. I mean, it's just
because they don't have boats?
Yeah, it's just mind-boggling.
And wouldn't that still be easier?
Yeah, it's mind-bogglingly stupid.
Wow! Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm not real sure how I watched that one.
Well, you might be the only one.
I might be. No, surely there's other people.
Were there other people in the theater?
I didn't watch it in the theater. I got it off Netflix.
Huh.
There's no way I'd see that piece of pay money to see.
I'm amazed it's not streaming. It did that bad. I can't imagine Netflix couldn't figure out a way to talk him into streaming it.
I think it was on DVD.
Well, it had to. I mean, it's on DVD. Yeah.
No, I think that's.
Though I actually haven't seen a copy of DVD, but I also really haven't left my house. So. I only changed out of my pajamas today because someone threw up on them.
Oh well, that happens.
Yeah.
How are you liking the, staying home with the kid all day?
It beats going to the office, I gotta say. Even the worst of it, I'm like, yeah, I wish this shit paid, but it sure doesn't. But the, it's going well. We're teaching her to nap by herself.
Ooh. And
it's going somewhat okay, and the somewhat that isn't okay is pretty awful.
Oh, yeah.
Today was one of those days. Hence the martini.
Oh. All right. Daddy really does drink because baby cries.
I'm not shitting you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get going on the topics here. Oh, no. Let's talk about the call-in topic.
All right.
So start calling.
The call-in topic. Actually, this came from a thing Brita put on Facebook. It was what's at the top of your bucket list. So there were a lot of interesting comments on the Facebook thing. So we thought it would be a good call-in topic. So, you know, it's like what... You know, everybody knows what a bucket list is. I don't have to go into that, but it's like, what is like at the top of your bucket list? What do you, you know? And of course the next question is why the fuck haven't you done it, asshole? So why is it on your bucket list? You don't have to tell us that. Just what's on your bucket list?
I can say why it's on my bucket list.
Yeah.
I've got two of them. The one is why haven't you done it, asshole? Better example is I want to go on like Southern United States, but Texas just keeps coming up, hog hunt.
Oh.
And that's just one of those. I just haven't gotten the irons and the fire for it and the time and all of that.
Well, there's lots of them. They're not going to run out.
There's lots of them. They're filled with delicious meat, and they do a lot of damage. So me shooting them seems like a really good idea.
Yep, it's a win-win. And if you work on it, you can get one of those helicopter things.
I talked to Masayub about that, and he doesn't advise it.
Oh, really? Because helicopters crash?
His helicopter crash.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a problem with those.
And he didn't see a single hog before he was suddenly covered in blood.
Yeah, that can happen.
But my other one, and it's definitely higher up on that one, and this is one of those, like, I've been working on it, and I get a lot of strange looks. But I want to sit in on either an autopsy or some sort of human dissection. I've seen just about everything else opened up, and I happen to be a person, so I kind of want to see what people insides look like.
Well, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. There were a few, I haven't looked recently, there were a few on YouTube, amazingly enough.
Huh.
And they were definitely legit.
Well, I know they, I don't. I mean, I know they do that for medical students. I don't know if they have a viewing area for. I guess you'd have to like know somebody.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
You know.
And I've asked around, and they haven't really taken me that seriously.
I can't imagine why that would.
I get that trademark weird look.
Yeah. Hey man, can I watch you cut somebody open?
I only get it, you know, about 10 or 6, you know, 10 or 12 times a day, but.
Well, you know, you tell them you do autopsies on, you know.
We call them necropsies when it's on critters.
Oh, really?
I don't know why.
Huh.
But it sure do.
Yeah. I mean, a human's just a big critter. I mean, it's not like it's a.
That's exactly what it is. I've cut open dolphins and seals and every fish known to man and every sort of little small critter that I can get my hands on. And I was taking apart bugs when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, just anything like that. So I don't really see why I want to add people to that list. And I don't even have to take them apart. That's fine. I've dug my hands on the squishy bits enough times that, you know what, I have an idea of what that would feel like, and that's not what I'm in for. I just want to see the relationship to all the stuff and how it sits and how it looks. And
Interesting. Not at all what I would have expected.
What about you, Alan?
Oh, mine's simple.
Fuck a chick with three tits?
No. No.
Fuck three chicks with one tit each?
that's probably more doable. No, mine is like really simple. Top of my bucket list and something I've always wanted is I want to live somewhere where I have enough land that I can just step out on the back porch and shoot.
Oh. Yeah.
You know, have a little bench set up. Have, you know,
that's actually where I learned to shoot, was in a friend from college's backyard. And he had a 100-yard range with a bench.
Nice.
And just, I mean, it was obviously just like a home built, you know, I ain't inviting company over for this. This is my own personal range.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Sort of setup, but it had all the creature comforts that you would want, and just none of the frills.
Yeah, it's your back porch. You put a gong out there at the, you know, at the far end, and so you don't have to actually walk out with a target, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Don't even need to kick your slippers off.
Right, exactly. You just walk out. You could. Yeah, Hickok 45. That's that guy. He's got a setup, and that is right off his back porch. So.
Well, especially also as a hand loader. I mean, you know, it's not that much because it's only a 15-minute drive to my club.
Yeah, but
you
still.
Know, sort of idea. But it's one of those things of the, I will drive, you know, 15 minutes, you know, log into the to the club and all that stuff, and you know, set up everything just so I can shoot, you know, three hand loads that I just made, and look for signs of overpressure so I can say, okay, this looks like a good safe load. It shoots well. It deals well. I can now go back home and start making more.
Well, you know, that would be awesome. You could put your reloader right there on the back porch with you, and you could make one and shoot it, and go, huh? And I'd make another one and shoot.
I'd still keep it in the armory. That stuff's kind of sensitive to water, and it's bolted down.
Yeah. Okay. So you'd make a, you know, you'd walk up the stairs.
I'd make my three or four test loads. You know, or even I can even make just one if I wanted to even like push the envelope a little bit and go, I don't know how good an idea this is going to be. I'm going to make just one and try it out.
There you go.
And then I would just literally, you know, take, you know, 15 minutes out of my day to do that. Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome.
Yep. So call in 214-530-0036. Tell us what's on your bucket list. And if you put it in chat, I'm not going to see it because I'm ignoring you. In chat. So anyway, and while we're waiting on people to burn up those phone lines, there's something been going on that I've been wanting to talk about for a while now. And you know, I have this iPhone, and it has a fingerprint reader on it.
And is that the only way you can get the thing open?
No. You can do the key code thing.
Yep.
Which I wind up doing a lot because although it is arguably one of the best fingerprint readers available, you know, and it's not a swipe. It's not like those ones where you like swipe your finger across it or anything like that. You just stick your finger, thumb, finger, whichever one you've put in there. You just set it on there. And if it works, it opens up.
How quick is it?
Well, when it works, it's instantaneous.
Very cool.
The problem is when it works. And yeah. Since I've been messing with this thing, I've been thinking about all these people that are belly aching for smart guns. You know, and there's always, you know, fingerprint readers and biometrics and all this kind of stuff. The problem is the shit doesn't work. Even on the iPhone, it's at best 50%.
Yep.
Which means I pull the phone out, I stick my thumb on there, and half the time it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it doesn't work at all because you know what happens to your biometrics? They change.
Mm-hmm.
Your fingerprint changes. The capacitance of your skin changes. It changes. If you've taken a shower and get out and try to do your phone, ain't going to work. If you're sweaty, anything that changes the state of your skin, the fingerprint reader, it just won't work. I noticed when I was up in Ohio and it was cold, my hands were so dry.
Even when you're inside?
Even when I was inside. The whole time I was up there, the fingerprint reader just absolutely didn't work.
Huh.
Now, and I got to thinking, how wonderful would that be? You know, you got your handy dandy, you know, modern anti-gun approved pistol with a biometric something on it. And, you know, most of the time it doesn't work.
Well, let's even go a step further. Let's say that they can get the fingerprint readers so they actually work all the time, and it doesn't matter if it's cold out or your hands are sweaty in the instance of something that's a life-saving device. Oh, let's say your hand is cut or bleeding,
yeah,
which is a very, very real possibility.
Sure.
Now, let's go on to, well, it works when it's cold out, but you know, there's this neat little thing that, you know, a lot of modern gun manufacturers have worked in, which is that extended trigger guard. Right. You know, why is it that an HK's trigger guard is so damn huge, Alan?
Yeah, because you're wearing gloves.
So you can wear gloves.
Yep.
And even in, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan, where, I mean, Afghanistan gets pretty damn cold, but there's a lot of places that it's pretty damn warm, they're still wearing gloves.
Well, a lot of people wear gloves when they shoot anyway, just because, if you shoot a lot, a gun can abrade the crap out of your skin.
Yep.
So a lot of people wear a thin glove anyway. So
yep.
So anyway.
and then there's all the nonsense of the fact that I mean there's maybe a handful of guns in my collection, and like I'm talking like two or three that have not been shot by someone other than me, and there's a couple that haven't been shot, period. But of my guns, most of them have been shot by other people, because someone will be like, oh, that's a really cool gun,
right?
Hey, do you want to shoot it? Yes.
Yep.
A lot of guns that I've owned have been guns of the, oh, that looks like a cool gun. Oh, I've got one. Let me shoot it.
Yep.
Oh, I like this. Let me go get one.
Right.
How are you going to teach new people how to shoot if this gun is biometrically encoded to you? How is my wife going to defend herself when I'm not at home, I'm not at home? Either there's got to be a situation where you can recode a gun or code a gun for multiple people.
Which is ridiculous.
Which is ridiculous, but, either you can do it, they would either have to make it hard, like you'd need to go into, like, an FFL or something like that, and, of course, everyone can hack everything.
Right.
Go back to last week's show, talking about the biometrically encoded rifles in terms of enlistment.
Oh, yeah.
Marco immediately turned around and said, oh, well, yeah, I mean, they're biometrically encoded, but anyone can hack anything.
Right.
And that's absolutely true.
Have the hardware, sure.
And then on top of that, you either have to make it painfully difficult that taking someone to the range, teaching somebody how to shoot, teaching a child gun safety for the first time has got to be either the worst pain in the ass ever, or it's going to be so easy that who gives a shit? It's just like, keep the guns locked up. Well, you can keep the guns locked up, but they're going to be able to get through it. And, oh, but no one can ever get to your guns. Well, that's impossible.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, that was, I thought it was interesting because, given, and it's not just me, everybody has this problem with the iPhone fingerprint yep. scanner. It's universal. It never works for anybody all the time. And that's,
Well, I mean,
on my phone, it's just a pain in the ass. On my gun, it would be potentially life-threatening.
Well, this new law coming into to the state of Massachusetts. I mean, one of the citations that was cited was that it'd be an RFID system, which is just fucking pointless. Because
that's ridiculous.
You need to have the key,
right?
And then the security of the key becomes the strong point. Oh, I'm gonna lock up my gun,
right?
But I'm gonna lock up my gun with the biometric watch or ring or whatever unit you got that's got the transmitter chip in it, or the code chip. I don't know the terminology for RFID. And it's I'm going to keep it beside. Okay, so they can steal both of them, and essentially you've got nothing to it.
Right.
And then, it's going to protect if someone tries to take your gun from you while in a defensive situation. Well, they're still going to be close enough for the damn thing to still work.
Yeah.
But the other thing was talking about is talking about biometric fingerprint scans. Hey, Marky's from the state of Massachusetts. Guess what the state of Massachusetts just stopped doing? They just stopped having you scan your fingerprints at gun shops when you're buying your gun. You would go up, you'd put your permit on the table, you'd fill out your ATF form, and then they would say, "Here, put your right index finger onto this little reader."
What the hell was that supposed to do?
Well, and that's to verify that you are the person on the card.
Oh,
my twin brother, who's a convicted felon, isn't buying guns.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, it's stupidity. But the big thing about it was the gun shop guys hated it because I never had a problem with it personally. I just had good luck. But I mean, I've kicked a lot of tires in a lot of gun shops. So I've seen a lot of guys going, oh, shit, where did I put the PIN number? For my, because essentially if it doesn't work, which evidently happens a lot, you have an identification number that then you would enter.
Oh yeah, because you can't tell anybody what your identification number is.
Well, even better is, you know, I don't do this, but 90% of all of the Massachusetts firearms permit holders, their PIN is written on the back of their card.
Oh well, yeah, of course, that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. But yeah, so but evidently these fingerprint scanners that were mandated by law didn't work, and they didn't work so much that they're gone now. They got rid of them. That's they actually got rid of a piece of quote unquote safety equipment.
Wow. That must have really sucked.
From Massachusetts. So it was that friggin' bad, and it's so friggin' bad that they're trying to mandate it on not just, you know, every person, but every damn gun.
Wow.
Stupidity. That yeah. Colin number.
Yeah, really. Come on, people.
214-530-0003 and a 6.
Throw us a bone.
That's right. Call in. Tell us you love us. Or, and talk about your bucket list. Everyone's got a friggin' bucket list.
Yeah. Damn it. Oh, and I'm going to say dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
Because I love saying that.
That yes, so that is how smartphones are like smart guns.
What? The number hangs up. Bullshit. Hang on, I gotta call my.
All right.
EBX.
Yeah. I'll riff while you're calling. But also, I mean, another big thing is, no matter what this thing is, this lock is got to be electronic.
Right.
It can't be a pure mechanical lock, and so it needs to run off of a battery. And we all know how the anti-gunners are going to be is if the battery runs. I mean, it also makes perfect sense because if, you know, it should be that if the battery runs dry, the thing should just be wide open and just turn into a regular old-fashioned gun. Well, then all you got to do is, you know, short out the battery or just, you know, let the battery run out, and then suddenly you've got yourself a completely unlocked gun. But as I said in my blog today, I took my daughter up to the third floor so I could clear snow off the balcony because global warming, and to keep her amused, I went to go put some music on the stereo, and picked up the remote and the batteries were dead on the thing.
Oh yeah, hey, that's
and
a good
so,
point.
And
yeah.
So I could not turn on the stereo. I had to go get a new set of batteries.
Yep.
For and of course. Being it's a TV remote and you drop it on the floor, the batteries fly out.
Right.
It's fairly easy to take the batteries out and put new ones in. I guarantee you're going to need to get like a screwdriver and some stuff. And it's, you know, going to be, you know, at least a few minutes. You know, it's going to be at least as much work
oh,
as
sure.
it is to change out the springs on a 1911.
Yep.
And to change the battery. And so you're going to say, oh, hey, man, my biometric thing ran out of juice. Can you hold on while I put a fresh battery in this thing?
Yep.
And then I'll shoot you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
We have a caller.
Yay.
It's Jay. Don't get too excited.
I get excited with Jay.
Hey, Jay.
Howdy. I was just checking to see if the line worked.
Yeah, it works fine. Like it worked for me, and it worked. Oh, see, now it's working for Bradley. I think he was.
Hey, Jay. I got to ask you.
Number.
Did your olive oil soaked skin work on the Massachusetts fingerprint readers?
Oh, eventually. It took about a minute every time it was used. So.
Oh, but, yeah, well, I mean, it took a long time for me, too, but I think that's just the system.
But that's okay. That's okay, because the new smart gun works on a watch. Because, you know, there have never been problems between devices communicating before,
no,
right?
No, not at all.
See,
well, and that, of course, also gets in. I mean, you know, I asked him why the hell he did this. You know, I was asking my father-in-law about a firearm he has, and I don't know if he still does this, but he's like, oh yeah, no, it's just in my nightstand drawer. Just go in and get it. And I went in and got it, and it was sitting in his nightstand with a trigger lock on it, and the key's in the trigger lock. I asked him why he didn't. He said it made perfect sense. His statement was that he just didn't want, you know, some little, you know, want, you know, he's got a million grandkids. He didn't want one of them to, you know, get out of sight long enough and start fiddling with something and get themselves into trouble. And absolutely, that trigger lock will be enough. Will buy you enough time that you'll be like, where the hell is he? Oh, he's messing around with a firearm. That kid needs to be beaten.
Yep.
And all that. But it's one of those. It does. It did nothing for theft. You know, it was a home defense gun, and so his statement was, you know, he didn't want to be slowed down fumbling for getting a key into a lock and all of that. So all he had to do is one extra maneuver to get his gun going and all that. But that's exactly it. It's just like I'm pretty sure Jay didn't do this. Did you keep your pin on the back of your card?
No, I put it in my phone.
Okay.
I've got
a bunch of cards with a bunch of numbers on them in there. And so that's me. But I mean, it's in my wallet. So if you steal my FID, you're going to steal my code. It may take you a while to hack your way into it. But I mean, it's just this. So if you've got a separate device, that's the security to the device. And especially if, like, you know, you're leaving it as a home defense gun. Oh, well, what if my wife needs to use this? My responsible elder child needs to use this? Well, then you put on this watch, you put on this ring, and then you start shooting.
Magic decoder ring.
Well, you know, the other end of that is if you're going that route and you can, you know, let's pretend, you know, the magic gun grabber fairy magically makes all the non-smart guns disappear.
Yeah, there's only like 100 million
right.
of them or so.
Well, we're weaving a fantasy here. Just go with me.
Oh, so, actually, Marky is claiming that after 2 years of the implementation of the law, this is how it's written as is. Number one, he doesn't actually have law enforcement or military exemption. So he does have exemptions that law enforcement and military will be able to keep their guns that they have.
Right.
But if they need to buy new guns, they will all need to be biometrically encoded.
See, that's my whole point right there, is that the people most likely to have their own guns taken away from them and used against them are cops.
Sure.
So you make this system mandatory for police officers. Let them test it for 5 or 10 years.
Oh, they'd never put up with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me finish this little thought experiment. Okay, so all the old non-smart guns have magically disappeared. All the guns that exist are these gee whiz, and let's just pretend they do. You know, they work the way they're supposed to. You've got some device, whether it's a watch or a ring or a card or a implant or whatever, right? That communicates with the gun and says you're the authorized shooter of that gun. The first thing I, as a criminal, am going to do is build me a great big RF generator on the frequency of that RFID tag, and I'm going to walk around, and every time I want to mug somebody or steal something or whatever, I'm just going to flip my little jammer on, and all of a sudden, your gun doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
You can't shoot me. Cops can't shoot me. Nobody can shoot me.
That's a good point.
I'm invincible.
Yeah.
Well, again, I mean, it's academic because there are something like 100 million guns already out there.
Well,
as we've seen, they can make a working AK-47 out of a shovel.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I just forgot, actually, when Jay, you'll remember this. Do you remember when they first switched over to the RFID Charlie card on the T?
No, I don't do public transportation.
Well, no, it was a big news story, though. They when they switched over to the RFID Charlie card, the kids at MIT, that's an MIT stop right on the red line, immediately went on with their RFID scanners and started getting information and just started passively scanning all the cards that went through and got all the information, figured out the flaws in it and then started writing the tee for free and then told the MBTA, here's what you did wrong. Here's how we were able to hack it. We have a Charlie card that has unlimited funds on it. and of course all they did was they just did a court order that ordered all the people in MIT that had that information could not under penalty of law share that information with the public.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And you can still make an unlimited Charlie card thing if you're geeky enough to have all the RFID equipment.
And then they went and shot every dog at MIT.
Yeah. What's on your bucket list, Jay?
What's on my bucket list? Well, you know, it's funny.
What's at the top of it?
The top of my bucket list has been taken care of. So
you got out of Massachusetts.
I got out of Massachusetts.
That was a big one, wasn't it, Jay?
Good job.
Honestly, like the number one thing that is number one on my bucket list has been number one on my bucket list for most of my life, all of my adult life, most of my life, period, is I would love to just do a massive U.S. cross-country tour. I have not seen a fifth, you know, a 2% of this country.
Kind of one of those visit every state things?
Yes, exactly. Except Hawaii, because I can't drive there.
Yeah.
Well, you can't drive to Alaska either because you have to go through Canada. Gross.
You have to go through Canada. That's okay. I'm better.
Oh, that reminds me. Did you see the map of the where it said, I don't know why Alaska so got snow because it's right near Mexico?
Yes.
Yeah.
Crack so Hawaii up. Has snow.
Yeah, it does.
it's the right southernmost state in the Union.
Yep. And it does have snow.
Every year,
yep.
it's interesting. Florida is really the linchpin of when you know it's a really goddamn snowy winter is when Florida has snow on the ground, is because Florida is the one state that almost never gets snow.
Yep,
that's where people go to die.
Yep. Oh, Jay, I was just told that you can take a car ferry from Seattle to. Seattle to Alaska, so you're cool. All set.
I thought you were going to say Hawaii. I was like, damn.
You can probably put your car on a boat.
Yeah, you could.
Put it on the boat and go to Hawaii.
Sure.
Thanks for calling, Jay.
People
stacking up, believe it or not.
Awesome. All right. Good night, guys.
Bye.
It's funny how that works when the equipment works.
I know. Hey, it works fine. Hey, Bradley. You there?
Well, now that my iPhone starts to work.
Uh-huh. See? Told you it was you.
Yeah, it was probably me. You know, it's me and an iPhone, and they never go well. But on the smart guns, if they've got any usable range on them at all, there is no way that they'd be, for RFID identification, there's no way it would save an officer's life. Because officers are always either shot in a scuffle or they're assassinated with their own weapons. And if it's close enough for the officer to use at arm's length, the criminal's going to be able to use it too.
Yep. Yeah. Oh no. With officer gun grabs. Oh yeah. It's not like the criminal's running back and taking cover. It's a contact distance. And if it's a contact distance, then yeah, no matter what, it's going to go off.
Unless they do something, you know, really cool, like in the Judge Dredd comic books, and they're doing active DNA scanning every time you pull the trigger.
Yeah, but that's like fantasy bullshit.
Yeah,
I mean,
and we do DNA sequencing. Well, actually, we send out for DNA sequencing.
Yeah, and it takes forever.
It takes a long ass time.
Yeah, this is not.
Can't do DNA sequencing, tracking, and identification on the trigger in the microsecond it takes a hammer to fall?
No.
Well, come on. TV lied? No.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, Judge Dredd is fictitious.
Well, not only that, but then you have the glove problem again. So, you know, yep. What are you going to do, right?
And on top of that,
here, let me slobber all over my glove so it's got my DNA on it so I can shoot somebody. I mean, come on.
Well, and that's the thing, is you've also got the bodily fluid issue, is right. Then, and if you get cut in the course of a scuffle, yeah. Then that gun's going to be locked open.
Well, that's true.
Well, Judge Dredd, they don't have gloves because global warming's so bad. You all live in mega cities, because that's what built the mega cities, was the reaction to global warming.
Yeah.
By the way, that new Dredd movie was pretty damn good.
I actually enjoyed it a lot better than the Stallone one. And I enjoyed the Stallone because it was snarky and funny like the comic books were.
I actually didn't see the Stallone one. I heard it was so goddamn horrible and decided against it.
My favorite wasn't Stallone in the one with the three shells.
Yeah, that was Demolition Man.
Demolition Man. I like that one.
Yep. He doesn't know how to use the three seashells.
Yeah.
So instead he wrote himself a whole bunch of tickets and used those.
Well, the single biggest problem is Taco Bell won the restaurant wars. So all restaurants are Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And they don't have toilet paper. I'm seeing a problem here.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you just don't know how to use the three seashells.
Maybe a little problem.
No, you just need to know how to use the three seashells. And everyone knows how to use the three seashells.
I don't.
Well, yeah, but that's because you're not from the future.
Oh, okay.
You're from the past, Alan.
I may be from the future. You don't know.
Oh, you are definitely from the past.
Oh, man.
The old timey past.
What's your what's at the top of your bucket list, Bradley?
Top of my bucket list is actually to go back to Europe and actually see Europe this time. I spent 9 years in Germany, and except for work, I didn't really get to see Germany or Europe at all.
Would they have you chained to the thing?
Just about. I was working, you know, pretty much 6 day weeks, 50 weeks out of the year. I was always going somewhere, doing something, and it was, you know, just kind of the suck. Now, on the good side, I went to Berlin every other month for work. You know, I was going to Belgium for work. So I got to do a lot of little side trips when I was going someplace. You know, I went to Normandy because, you know, I had to support the soldiers.
But yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I've traveled a bunch. And Alan, you've traveled a bunch for work. And I don't know. I mean, it's... Unless, I mean, my work, I never had, you know, downtime built into it. There would be, you know, times where it's one of those, nothing's going to get done today, so I can go. I mean, it would always be, they'd send me 1,000 miles south to say, oh, go get on some boats here. And invariably there'd be a hurricane.
Yeah, when you travel for work, they don't give a shit if you have time to go sightsee, because that's not what they're paying for.
And that's it. Yeah, when you go to work. I mean, yeah, my wife's been to Japan for work, and it wasn't like she got to do a little bit of sightseeing from Japan, but we've seen a whole hell of a lot more of Costa Rica than she saw of Japan, because we went to Costa Rica on our own nickel.
Well, that's pretty much what you have to do.
That's why you go on your own nickel.
Yep. Well, a lot of times, sometimes I've done this before where it's like, hey, you know, let me stay a few extra days on my dime.
Yeah.
You know, because they got to pay to get you there and back anyway. If they, you know, if you take a few vacation days and pay for the hotel yourself, you know, then a lot of times they'll let you.
My wife actually did that when she was in England for work. She stayed for a couple extra days. So. She's big into cathedrals and toured some of the major cathedrals, you know, on a couple of
times. That would have been nice if it was an option. The problem was quite often I was flying military air under orders.
Oh, well, you're screwed.
Yeah, I was there as a civilian, but it's like, hey, you're going to Italy. Cool, it's winter, I'm going to Italy, but it's going to be great. Yeah, be at Ramstein Air Base 6 a.m. on Friday, and we're flying you back on Monday.
Yep.
You're making me work the weekend in Italy when everyone's drinking. Yeah, it's because we hate you. Okay. Oh, well.
Hey, thanks for calling.
You guys, you know. Later.
Bye. And we got another caller. It's MDev.
Who's that?
Hello, Squirrel Report.
Hey, MDev.
Never heard of him.
Hey, I have a real quick update for you guys about something that you guys turned me on to. I made Twitter contact with the other Squirrel Report.
Ooh.
Oh, hey.
What did he have to say?
So, well, you know, from a few messages back and forth, he's exactly as we would all expect him to be. He's a pretty enjoyable guy, but look forward to a future episode of Squirrel Report with possibly a tweet from me or a twat that he
Oh, I gotta go back and listen to that. Yeah, that's a good show.
Yeah, I got
everyone needs to listen to it because it is pretty fucking hilarious.
It is funny.
And it's not a lot of time out of your time. It's a good podcast.
Yeah, I still can't get my wife into it. I'm trying to get her as addicted to podcasts as I am. Like, I haven't listened to terrestrial radio in like 4 years.
Oh, I can't stand it.
And it's every once in a while, like, because I'm in the car 45 hours a week for work, and all I do is listen to podcasts. So every once in a while, like if I work an overtime day, I run out of podcasts, and I'll try and turn on talk radio. I'm like, I don't want to listen to 45 minutes of commercials.
Nope.
But
nope.
On my bucket list. Hello?
Yeah, we're still here.
Oh, okay, yeah. So on my bucket list, I kind of have an achievable one, and then a slightly less achievable one. The achievable one, which, I mean, would really just involve me, you know, getting off my ass and doing it, is I want to go hog hunting. That's something I've never done, something that looks like a lot of fun, and, you know, give me an excuse to go do it. The longer-term one is I've always had this dream of going skydiving, landing on a beach, and then almost immediately donning scuba gear and, you know, scuba diving right after it.
No, you're supposed to jump out of the airplane with your scuba stuff on and land in the water.
Well, that would be super awesome. I just haven't figured out a way to, like, you know, sever the parachute so it doesn't become an anchor and drag me to the bottom. But.
Oh, please.
Actually, I think I'm going through my Patty dive manual in my head, and I believe that'd be okay. It's the other way around. You can't get out of the ocean with scuba tank and then get on an airplane and go skydiving because then you might get bent.
Yeah.
But
the other
way around is perfectly safe.
Okay.
Perfectly safe.
As long as you continue to go down, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you'll only be dissolving more nitrogen into your system.
You might
need to dope your dive tables just a little bit.
It's perfectly safe to jump out of an airplane.
Consult your physician. I thought you would say skydive onto a beach and immediately pull off your jumpsuit and pull off your jumpsuit, be wearing a tuxedo underneath, and start drinking a martini.
No. See, I'm not into the whole James Bond thing. That's kind of boring to me. But I want to figure this out, or, you know, do a nice skydiving jump. I've done the indoor skydiving, which was just enough to give me a taste to say, damn, I can't.
Indoor skydiving?
Oh, that's where
I'm going all 404 on this one.
That's where they have the giant propeller that blows air up and you're in the room.
There's basically a big fan underneath a big, like, great floor, and you jump off a little platform and it takes you like 2 minutes to come down the little.
I saw that in that Wesley Snipes movie. What was that one?
Oh.
It was a Wesley Snipes skydiving action movie that had that.
It's the one and only time. Well, not the one and only, but it's one of the only times that I really wish I had a GoPro camera mounted onto a little helmet because I think the video of that would have been great. And I even said to the lady, I was like, why don't you guys rent GoPros here? You guys would make bank on that. She's like, oh, yeah, we should look into that.
There you go, giving away those money-making ideas.
I know. It's like everything else. I just give them away for free.
Yep. Well, thanks for calling, okay. Bradley.
All right. Bradley? Bradley.
Sorry. God damn it.
Okay, and by the way, so since I said my bucket list is a hog hunt, and Bradley wants to go hog hunting.
Yes.
Alan, you live in Texas and you've been hog hunting.
Yep.
I think we need to have a squirrel report hog hunt.
Okay.
It's kind of like when those radio shows do a cruise.
Okay. Works for me.
I think that's a good idea.
I think we can. Well, I know. I think Ambulance Driver does a yearly hog hunt.
Huh.
Around here somewhere. He crosses the border. Well, I think we've run this thing out of time. I don't think we. Oh, there was a couple of things we didn't cover, but you know what? Meh.
Meh. Meh. But yeah. All right, folks. So we'll start signing up for the Squirrel Report hog hunt.
We'll take it under advisement.
Kill some damn pigs in Texas. They got too many of them. We can make them less.
That's right. And we'll be back with the full crew next week.
Yay!
Yep. Y'all have a good weekend. And
if I'm still here, I may have frozen to death.
Oh.
Nah. It was actually above freezing today. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I believe it. I know it was.
It's been like.
Did you get rain?
We did actually get rain yesterday. It was one of those they were calling for above freezing temperatures, and it did that for about 2 hours, and then the rain came. But the rain didn't come until after it started rain, just snowing some monster snowflakes, and I'm just seeing these huge snowflakes coming down. And I'm like, son of a bitch!
Yeah, it was like 80 degrees here today.
Oh, God, I fucking hate you.
So, just saying.
It was warm today, but it was not warm enough to make my driveway bare.
I've had the air conditioner on in my office for the last 3 days.
What's an air conditioner?
Yeah.
Is that like hair conditioner? I don't use that.
Yeah, it is.
Do you get all frizzy?
No.
Does it leave a residue?
No. It does stink a little when you haven't used it for a few months.
Really? Actually, I do have air conditioners. They get used for like 3 months, but they don't stink.
Yeah, well.
But we clean the filters.
Yeah, you got to do that. I don't think they clean the filters in the office, so. Yeah. All right, man.
All right.
See y'all next week, and I guess that's a show. Bye.
All right.